Right now on VFN TV, we're going to talk about four things we need to know about the Middle East. We're also going to find out what does Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries mean by saying the church itself is going to take on a more of a military body of Christ demeanor. What does that mean? And also about all the many moves of God and how we need to stay focused. This and so much more right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. We're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America is in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. It went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Molech, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They weren't even, they were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can come through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let them.
Lancaster. Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Steve Kalaszewski. I want to thank you for joining us every day in our audience. You know, we have, I believe that as we're walking this thing out together, the Lord is and is going to do some pretty great things. Some words have been given out about how the media mountain, how the you know, Christians are going to be involved in every aspect of media and other mountains as well. But we're seeing that take place through VFN, and we're very excited about that. Well, you hear all these things that are taking place with the Middle East. You have, you know, Iraq and Israel and Syria and Egypt and Lebanon, and you're trying to wonder what's going on with ISIS doing what they're doing and Iran with these particular treaty deal that was just signed by our president, you know, enabling them to be able to get hundreds of millions of dollars. Reports are, and billions of dollars, and potentially have a pathway to nuclear power. I mean, what's nuclear weapons? You're thinking, what are we doing? What's going on? Well, this is a great article that you can see right now about four things we need to know about the Middle East. Let's take a look right now. Four things we need to know about the Middle East.
The Middle East has been collapsing into a mess in recent years, from the Arab Spring disasters in Libya and Egypt to the rise of ISIS in Syria and Iraq. So what do Americans really need to know about what's going on in the Middle East? CBN News Middle East Bureau Chief Chris Mitchell put that question to some top experts. Here's what they told him.
More generally in the Middle East, what the American people need to know is that this time, this is a time of unprecedented turmoil. Again, you have Iranian-backed proxies, whether they're militias or state actors or terrorist groups, that are largely in control of broad swaths of Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Yemen, and that are going to continue to aggressively destabilize the region because Iran is going to get tens of billions of dollars to support them, because Iran is going to get more conventional weapons, and ultimately Iran is going to get nuclear weapons. That is all going to happen in almost the first day of this deal. They're going to get the money immediately. Very soon they'll be getting more conventional weapons, and the nuclear umbrella they'll be developing will continue to deter oftentimes effective pushback against Iran's action in the region. That's why it's so important that we stand up to them now, mm-hmm. before they get stronger, before they realize that they can confront the U.S. and our allies throughout the region.
The Middle East is beginning to break apart. It's beginning to be subverted by terrorist elements like Al-Qaeda or like Al-Qaeda in the Sinai Peninsula. There's no coherent U.S. policy for how you deal with the Middle East. We don't recognize the realities of the Middle East, especially in Syria and Iraq, and we're running the gamut of nuclear proliferation, and we need to have a policy and put the resources behind the policy to correct that.
What they need to know is that this is not necessarily it's about the West. It's about problems and tensions and insecurities within these societies themselves. The state system is devised by the Europeans with arbitrary borders that didn't take into account ethnic and religious differences. It was not adaptable, it was not sustainable in an area of the world where people don't necessarily organize themselves mm-hmm. along nation-state lines. If anybody in the United States thinks that they can turn their back on the Middle East and walk away, then they are kidding themselves. The Middle East is not like Vietnam, where you can pull your troops up and go home and be pretty confident that the Viet Cong are not going to follow you to wherever you're going, to Chicago or Florida. The Middle East is going to come after you. The Middle East is coming to a neighborhood near you. And the United States will remain deeply connected both strategically and financially to the Middle East. So there's no detaching. If the United States wants to be a player in this region, a player diplomatically, it has to be a player militarily as well.
Isn't that something where, you know, they're talking about Senator Cotton, the retired general also as well, they're saying that, you know, we're not involved militarily at the level we need to be in, therefore we can't be involved in this particular decision making that's taking place with huge Middle Eastern policies. But it's, I think what's pretty interesting as well, the second this deal goes through, the treaty with Iran, they're going to be able to have that money to begin to buy all these things. I mean, as we just said in the previous program, maybe two programs ago, we were talking to you a couple of days ago, was the fact that 1,500 yards away from one of our own carriers, the USS aircraft, Harry Truman, they fired a missile reportedly and just missed it, barely missed it by 1,500 yards. And we're going to give them all this money? It's just understanding that we wanted to learn those four things about it and what we need to do about it biblically. One is pray for our military, pray for our leadership. You know, pray that we don't know who our leader is going to be, you know, in regards to, obviously, a president only serves for 8 years, so there's going to be another leader coming up possibly in the near future if some of those prophetic words don't come to pass in regards to our leaders, and that it's so important for us to take a positive lead role in the world, being the leading economic military power in the world, and it gives us some say-so in that, and being the friend of Israel again. You know, and that's something to be able to pray for. When we get back from this break, I want to talk to you. We're going to find out what Rick Joyner with the Morning Starter Ministries means, as he's just stated recently in the last couple of days, that you know, you're going to begin to see the body of Christ take on a more military demeanor. What does that mean? Join us after the break. We'll talk about that.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN-TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings, and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm so excited. I like, if you haven't read the book yet, maybe we have it, you can see it. It's Army of the Dawn, written by Rick Joyner. And it's really, if you've read about the call, the vision that God gave him, the call, I think, was pretty relevant. He penned his last part of it in 1998. You know, they published it, I believe, in 1999, January of 1999. It came out and hit the presses. But when we're reading that, and it was just so accurate, you know, for what the Lord was saying. And one thing he talked about in that particular vision of the call, and you're looking at, I think, right there, the Army of the Dawn. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. You got to get it. You got to read it. It's very encouraging. It's very informative, practical things, as well as the direction that we're, he believes. You know, we know in part and prophesy in part, but what he's seeing. And what we saw and read about in the call, in that particular vision, today is the day that you're starting to see that. And the Army of the Dawn is really kind of, okay, we're walking into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the humility level of Rick Joyner is totally amazing. You know, he's always pretty open to say, you know, I'm not there yet. You know, we're on our journey. You're hoping, you're like, okay, it's been 10 years. But the truth is, it takes a while to fulfill things, and yet it's through faith and patience we inherit things.
Process.
And it's a process. And so one thing, I want you to see this right here, where he's talking about something pretty interesting, because historically, you know, the church and the Inquisition and the things that have happened, you know, with the Catholic Church and the military viewpoints that they took of things. And is Rick Joyner talking about this? Well, we want to first hear what he says, and then we're going to talk about it. I think it's going to really encourage you.
But you are going to see the body of Christ take on a military demeanor. Doesn't mean we're going out killing people. It's not what this army's about. We go out to heal them, raise them from the dead. You know, not to wound them, but to heal them. Not to conquer them, but to set them free. You know, but there is a military discipline that we've got to have, a military demeanor. I think you're going to see coming upon the body of Christ more and more. I think it's going to start gelling this year.
More and more. And he says, you know, he believes it's going to start gelling this year. You know, being, you know, former military, both of us served in the military. We just kind of drove y'all around on our boat while y'all shine your shoes. We don't know what, no, Navy and Marines. That, this one thing, you know, God is a God of order. And, you know, there's a lot of people who pervert order. You know, ISIS has some sort of order. And, but God has an order. God is a God of order. And there's one thing with, I know when Rick was writing about the vision he had about the call, when he was looking at these three particular armies, and, you know, it was three different seasons of the church, and the first particular army was just in chaos. There was no, people were jealous and envious, and, you know, people look at, in this vision, people had higher rank than someone else, and they were intimidated by that, and somebody else was lording over them. It was just a mess. The second army had, you know, more, you know, some order to it, but still a lot of those issues there. And the third army, they were just marching smoothly in order. Everybody was moving in agreement. Nobody felt better than anybody else, but there was order to it. And they would walk into a city, and it was a destroyed type city. They'd walk into it, and all of a sudden it would be replenished, and everything turns green, and everything is lively. And when they would leave this third army, things would stay good. But when the earlier two armies would go into a city, they would cause more damage. The first army would just cause damage. And the second army would actually do good, but they would kill it on the way out. There's so many people that step on their harvest. I mean, they do they go do ministry, and then they don't understand that you can kill that. You know, it doesn't just happen. And then they just, with their character, with their behavior, how they treat people, they could just kill it. And that's what the second army did. And, of course, the third army would go into a bad city. It would get better when they leave and stay. They knew how to do that. And so the Lord asks Rick in this vision, he says, you know, which one do you think you are? And he says, what do you think we should do with this first army here, which is a mess?
Right.
And, of course, you know, Rick responds immediately, we just need to just deal with them. We need to, you know.
Remove them.
Yeah, it was just like intense, right? You know, get rid of them. And then the Lord says to Rick, he says, this is you. This is the church. This is the condition of the church. And so you think about it. That's where we were, what, 1998, you know, at that time, 1999. And so somehow we have to progress through this thing, you know, which are we? What is our life like? And you can tell a person, you can tell where they are in their life by the trail, the wake they leave behind.
Relationships,
yeah. You know, we talk about that in you know, VFN Kingdom Business, but you can tell about a person, the wakes don't lie. You know, if you're going through the water in your ship, in your boat, you know, it puts a cut in the water and it puts a wake. There's a right side and a left side to the wake. One side of it, you could really call task, how you handle the task. And the other side is how you handle relationships. And some people are really good at tasks, but they'll just murder you on the relationship thing. Like, just pick up your head and
but
let's go on.
Done,
you just
done.
Cut my head off, right? Yeah. And there's other people that are good at relationships. They don't ever get anything done. But, you know, it's having the balance of those two things. And that last army, which is where the church is going and growing to, is where we have that revelation. God has given us a grace to be able to do that. And I'm excited about going in that direction. So the Army of the Dawn really is talking about that. And so we're talking about this military demeanor. It's about order.
Yeah.
You know?
And as you're saying that, one of the huge things is when you're hearing what Rick Joyner is saying in regards to having a military demeanor, it causes me to remember, in regards to being in the Marine Corps, is that look at boot camp. You have 50 to 70 individuals come together, and 3 months later, they can hear a voice of one individual say, step. And
in
you
three
have,
months.
In literally three months,
months, right?
You have 50 to 70 people walking as one. Yeah. Now think about this. When you look at the church, it's like following the leadership of the Lord, following the voice of Jesus Christ. there's no, it's not, you're not saying, well, what are you doing? It's like, right. What are we doing together right. to advance what Jesus has called us to do, walking together in agreement, coming together as the body of Christ? That is encouraging.
Well, you went fast by, you know, boot camp, because a lot of people might not understand that. But you said, you know, you're basically chaotic and everybody going their own directions. Mm-hmm. You go through boot camp and then they get you in order, but also an agreement where you're walking in unity.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no such thing as an effective fighting force. It's not unified. That's why America right now is in a very dangerous state, because people are confused. There's not a clear vision over our country. People are trying to undo and transform us from our original viewpoint of mm-hmm. who we were and God intended us to be. And that's totally, I mean, if anything could be divided, the enemy's working hard to
divide it.
And effective fighting force in the military is a unified, you know, a unified unit that's walking together to the point that, you know, they say that a man does not really necessarily die for his country, but what he does is he gives his life for his buddy, his fellow soldier.
Lays down his life.
Yeah, that's right beside him. But if you get a lot of those relationships together, you got a large army.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it works. You have a relationship, yeah. But the church is so isolated, you know, for years. You know, even though you're gathering together, do you know anything about the person next to you? I know you know something about Susie in the Sunday school class, but do you know that the person beside you that you sit beside, you know, for years, do you know what's happening in their life? Do you know where they work? Do you know if their marriage is okay? Do you know if they're financially all right? Do you know if they have teenagers that are giving them a hard time, or, you know, this type of, do you know anything about them? And are you connected enough in a relationship to help them out? Well, that's one thing that, you know, Army of the Dawn is talking about, and what, you know, Rick is talking about, and what the Lord's kind of head us in that same direction is, mm-hmm. you know, discipleship is best caught rather than taught.
Oh yeah.
You know, I hear what you're saying, but what you're doing is messing me up, you know?
Hugely. Well, mm-hmm. when you look at how Jesus walked and he spent time with his disciples, you had the religious leaders of the day focused, and they were carrying out everything that was going on in the temple. And it was just like, you look at the relationship between the disciples and Jesus. He would, you know, say, look at the grass of the field, look at the sparrows, look at the tree. And they spent 3 years with him. Right. And then what happened after that was the book of Acts. And it's like the context, like you're saying, of discipleship in that relationship. That's where it's returning back to. He's saying going back to those small units, those small gatherings.
What we keep trying to do, we just think if we just get a whole bunch of people together, we'll have a big army.
Right.
But the truth is, if you really know how armies are set up, and we're not going to be a military army, but the kind of concept of that, it's really a whole bunch of very small units, right?
Mm-hmm.
Platoons, and mm-hmm. depending on what branch you're in. And when they all come together, they're really separate little small groups, very small groups. And it takes that point to be able to say, to do something effectively, mm-hmm. you know, and it has a leader, and they're going in a direction, and everybody knows their place. Over 90% that, you know, Rick writes about in the Army of the Dawn, over less than 10% and less than 10%, 10%, only 10% know their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. I mean, can you imagine if you're in the Marines and you graduate from boot camp and they still are going like, don't know why I'm wearing this uniform and I'm tired of shining that thing, right?
Yeah.
And so, you got to know your purpose. It's one thing, yep. you're knowing your place, and that, you know, 10%, only 10% of Christians are aware of that. I mean, 90% don't, and mm-hmm. less than 10% know their call. You know, in the military, you would say, you know, you're going to be, you know, a marksman or shooter. You're going to be, you know, on this, and you're going to be on, you know, food. You're going to do this. And all of a sudden everybody just goes and does their thing, and it just happens because everybody's in their place. But right now, if we don't know our call, don't know our purpose, and we don't understand what Rick's talking about, and this is not something we're going to make happen. This is something we're going to realize it needs to happen. And it will happen. I mean, think about a natural family who loves each other, that there's something inside of them because of their relationship that does not let bad things happen to one of the members of the family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go sit around the table and you know that all of a sudden there's no spiritual laws going on. You just see somebody's face so long they can eat oats from a tailpipe. It's like, oh, are you going through something? Right? And are you going to pass the ketchup, or are you going to throw it at me? No. I mean, there's something you can do at a smaller group that you couldn't even do. There's people dying, you know, next to people in large organizations that they need somebody in their life. And so I think it's going to be a thing. You can't make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst thing you could do is like, that's right. You know, we can go do this military thing And if you're going to make it happen, you're going to be like the person's wake who only dealt with task.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's one thing about the military itself, it struggles with. They got the task part down, but this relationship type thing mm-hmm. sometimes is really tough. The thickest relationship you have in the military quite often is with your smaller core group. And then you just tolerate whatever else is going on.
Right. Everything outside of that.
Right. So it's 99.9. And so, so you don't make this thing happen, but be open for it. Be open for, you know, am I a person of order? You know, do I get offended when I'm asked to do something? Do I have a place in a body? Do I know my call? Do I know my purpose? If God launched me out on the front lines and he's sending us all out, go into all the world, am I ready to do it? Or I'm actually living vicariously through others who'd be able to do that. And you know your place. I mean, that'd be terrible to be launched out in the military and your platoon is sent out and your small squad is sent out. And all of a sudden you look at the other eight fellow soldiers with you and you go, what are we doing here? Actually, that did happen. That happened. One particular man was in a foxhole. And he said, it was in Iraq and five shots were going off. He said, the only reason I was in this thing is for my education, to get an education thing. And the guy is telling me the story. He said, you're in. This is it. This is the real deal. And a lot of the church is like that. And so we got to say, you know what? It's time for us to move into this season. And we can do it by becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. One great way to do that is begin to abide. And we have something, we have a plan for you. Abiding with the Lord, he talks about. It's impossible to do anything outside of abiding with him, Jesus. Go to iabide.org and get your abiding plan today. It's real simple. It's broke down. You start building a relationship, a true, authentic relationship. Think about this. If you had 90 days to learn something, that if you didn't learn it on your 91st day, you're going to be dead. You pay attention.
Yep.
It's amazing that you know that inevitably you're going to be put on the front lines and you're going to have to go, you know, a tour of duty. You're going to pay attention. Well, that's how we're supposed to be as Christians. We're all going on a tour of duty. God has sent us all out. And begin to pay attention to build your relationship with the Lord. Secondly, become his disciple. Most of the church in America is not even discipled. Think about it. And we're called to be disciples, followers, people that know his teachings and follow his teachings. According to what Rick Joyner's talking about. That's what he said in there. And with that, I know we got to go to our break, but in that, you know, when we begin to take it seriously, what God has called us to do and realize that God could call us to Egypt tomorrow. God could call us to Iraq tomorrow. God could call us to Afghanistan. God could call us to China. God could call us to our neighborhood, but we're going to have to do something for him because he's called us to do something. Then we start paying attention. And when you do that, you start coming together because you're listening to the same commander, Jesus, the same, you know, sergeant, you know, the same Holy Spirit is directing us all and speaking to us. And that's why when we come together and we all say amen, it means there's something in my spirit that bears witness with your spirit that we heard from the same commander. And that's what brings us together in unity. We'll talk more about this after the break. You got to join us because we're going to talk more, hear more from Rick Joyner about this New Year's conference that just happened, about all the different moves of God that are going on and that will be going on. Join us after the break.
I want to share with you about our special offer 2000. You want to get this special offer just for partnering with VFN TV. For any amount, it's yours. We want to get it to you. And it's called, This is an Act of War. Has World War III begun? And is this the coming mark of the beast? These were the statements. This is an act of war by the Francis president, François Hollande, right after the Paris attacks. If you remember, he closed the borders immediately. And what happened was a complete tragedy. But he says this is an act of war and that France was going to be engaged. But in this message, you're going to find out some very interesting and some startling information. One of which is that, is this a prelude to the mark of the beast? How are we going to get there? Are we on the verge of World War III? You're also going to find out about biometrics identity. They have a system already designed and they want to implement for 7 billion people where they're digitally tagging you with an ID. You don't want to miss it. This is a time for the church to wake up as to what is happening right now. You want to get this message. You want to partner. And it's through your partnership and our sponsors that we're able to continue to do what we're doing, keeping the conversation light. You become a partner at VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and select partner now. Or you can do it by mail. And you want to mail VFNTV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And you can always feel free to call at 844-408-3688. Again, that number is 844-408-3688. Partner today.
I'm Pastor Lynn Ballinger, Jubilee Church right here in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for watching VFN-TV.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Our men and women in the military often make huge sacrifices to defend freedom for our families. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and on this National Day of Prayer, listen to Lynn as she shares a heartfelt prayer for our troops.
My prayer for America is that for our soldiers returning home who are wounded not only physically but mentally as well, that our government and its people will recognize the needs of these soldiers who freely gave their lives to give us freedom, that we will rise up and protect and provide for them and their families and support them as much as we can as a nation and honor them as we should. This is my prayer for America. Thank you.
We'd invite you to join along in praying for our troops and our government today when you stop by focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Here we are. Yes, VFN-TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Taking VFN Radio and VFNTV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, I want to stay on that topic just a little bit more when Rick was talking about taking on a military demeanor. But before Rick said this, Jesus said it when he was talking about to the centurion. And this centurion was a person in the military. He had people over him that told him what to do in the military. And that was the day. I mean, mm-hmm. Tell him what they told him to do by then. And had people under him. And he walked up to Jesus and said, you know, he had a particular servant that was sick. And he's like, you know, can you go to my, he says, and my servant is sick. Can you heal him? And Jesus is like, yeah, I'll come over to your house. I said, whoa. I mean, that's somebody who has the military demeanor knows what we knew in the, and we watched it on 6 days in Iraq because mm-hmm. he had a Marine that was talking in the presence of a mm-hmm. general in the Peshmerga military. Yep. And he's going like, I'm sitting in this general's office joking with him because there's a sense of honor. When our captain would come on our ship in the Navy, we would, like say the ship's name is the USS Kennedy, for example. And the captain would come on the brow of the boat. And as soon as he's coming on, before his feet touch the boat, they would be ringing a bell and said, USS Kennedy arriving. I mean, they identified the captain of that ship that ran that ship as the name of the ship. They were like one and the same. I mean, that's how authority, how military sees things like that. And if you don't see it that way, they actually encourage you and remind you.
They have very effective ways to remind you.
Yeah, in boot camp, you know, we had to really learn because we were learning.
Oh, yeah.
And you couldn't even pass an officer without saluting them. So if you're walking side by side, they're walking a little ahead of you, and you're about to pass them on your right, for example, you couldn't pass them without saying, holding a salute up and going, you know, by your leave, sir. Mm-hmm. And they could say, no, and you cannot go faster than or past them. Mm-hmm. Or they would just salute you and you can go on because you're always recognizing. It's so important. You know, you can have the legalistic way of doing that, or you can have the honoring way of doing that, where you're honoring somebody who's in authority, who has more knowledge than you, somebody who you're going to, follow their leadership. And so of all the people, and this particular centurion that's talking to Jesus, this military man, centurion means he had 100 people under him. He wasn't even a Jew. I mean, Jesus came first for the Jews, then the Gentiles. I mean, but here he was, not even a Jew. And Jesus was responding. He does respond, but I'm just saying, you know, but this is what Jesus said. This is why I say this. Because he said, listen, no. I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. Sort of like that former Marine was talking to that general in the Peshmerga Army, which is the...
In Iraq.
In Iraq, mm-hmm. which is the Kurdish, mm-hmm. Kurdish military. And... And he's saying the same thing. He's like, no. Oh my goodness. No. But all you got to do is just say the words. Just speak the words. He understood the authority of God. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus, right? And Jesus could just say the words. And he said, if you'll just speak these words, this is us getting the demeanor of the military, understanding this, right? And my servant will be healed. If you'll just speak those words, if you'll just say those words. This is a man that totally got it, right? And Jesus' response was this. He's like, hold the fort, you know. No, he didn't say hold the fort, but he's just like, wait a minute. I haven't seen anybody in all of Israel that has the greatest amount of the substance that pleases me the most, which is faith, mm-hmm. the greatest amount of faith in all of Israel than this man. Think about it. He said, this is what the man says. He says, listen, just speak the words. Just speak the words. Listen, I understand. I myself am a man under authority. I got people over me, and they tell me to do stuff, and I do it. And I got people under me. I tell one to go, and he goes. I tell another one to come, and he comes. I understand authority. Just speak the words. And Jesus is like, you got the greatest amount of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the centurion had the greatest amount of the substance that pleased God the most. So if we'll understand this part of what God is wanting to reveal to us, his church, then we can see those very same things. And Jesus is like, it's done. After Jesus praised him and acknowledged this man has the greatest amount of the substance that pleases God the most. He has the greatest faith in all of Israel. So really, when you see somebody who understands what this militaristic demeanor is, this military type demeanor, that's somebody that understands the authority of God and the authority of the believer, and they understand their place. They know that there's geographical regions, there's regional authority, there's, particular, you may be, you know, in your city, you may have a call in your city, or you may have a call to a smaller area in your city. But then again, somebody else may have a call to several cities in that area, and they have an anointing or grace to speak into those seven cities. Now you, if you have an anointing to maybe be a pastor of a local church, and you're doing a wonderful job at that, There's nothing, God hasn't given you something to be able to walk in and begin to speak over that city. And if you did, it wouldn't work out because you're not carrying that particular anointing for that particular thing. But if you understand this order, you will recognize and honor that person or persons that God has put in that city to be able to do that. And you walk together as unity. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is a huge, if you don't understand that, and a lot of people haven't served in the military. They haven't, you know, been in the Boy Scouts or some sort of function like that, and they don't understand that. And a lot of people have had dysfunctional family upbringing, and they didn't have a father in the home, you know, and so they don't understand authority or a father that was activated. And so they get around authority, they just panic, you know, they're paranoid. They're thinking, you know, something must be going on, somebody's trying to control me, you know, all this kind of stuff. And instead of understanding it's authority, it's the way things are going. And so when he's saying this, you know, and it's something that God's going to begin to unfold, be open for it. be open for enlisting in the Lord's army, you know, as a soldier of love that's going into all the world and telling people about the love of God and healing the brokenhearted and setting the captive free. And that's what we're called to do, but we're not called to be a chaos. Mm-hmm. We're called to be order. You know, who are you related to? Who are you rightly related to? So many people, Steve, are just, you know, they're just hopping from place to place. I know we're going to talk about that mm-hmm. in a minute, but they're just like, they go to this gathering, this church gathering for, you know, about mm-hmm. 6 months, maybe 2 years.
And then move on to the next.
And then they move on to the next gathering, which is another part of the city. And what's so interesting, the mindset is that when they got to the gathering, they actually take credit for that and they go, this is what we're doing. It's like, well, you were doing that, but actually you showed up at some place where somebody else was doing something. And it's like, we're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so, you know, where are you connected at? Where are you rightly related at? And just because someone calls themselves a church doesn't mean they're a church. You know, just because, it says something on the outside of the building, you know, it doesn't mean the same thing as on the inside of the building. But the truth is what, you know, we are the building of God and what's in our heart. And coming together is so important. Can you imagine this thing kick in and you're not even connected to one person? And that's how this thing is happening. God's showing us, you know, it's unfolding, and that you're going to, we're two or more gathered in his name for the purpose of coming together like we're talking about. There I am in the midst of them, ruling as the one in charge, knowing that when we speak in his name, because he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now I give it to you. Go in my name and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded them. And I'll work with you always, even to the end of the time. That's just a powerful thing, very powerful thing. We've got to go to break right now, but we come back. We're going to talk about, you know, more, hearing from Rick Joyner, talking about, you know, all the different moves of God that's going on, how to respond to that, and some experiences that we've had ourselves, and bringing you some encouragement in that. Join us after the break.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis, you know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com. and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then green room. There's, you know, some interviews that we had that we ask other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the green room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says. When you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFNTV. There's nothing more exciting when God is doing something. He's moving, and wherever he is wonderful. Like what one particular man said, you know, if you want to be, you know, you want to be on fire for God, you want to do something for God, find out what he's doing and then dive in 100%. Mm-hmm. But one of the things is he's doing more than one thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing more than one thing. And we want to hear, you know, Rick Joyner here talk about this. And we want to talk a little bit more about it after he says it. But it's so important. Understand that God's moving in many places. But where does he want you to be? Let's join Rick now.
Let me say this about moves of God. There are always many moves of God going on. I like to get a little bit in all of them. I like to experience them. If I hear something breaking out, I love to go there and experience it, but I don't try to ride that wave. I get what I can out of it. You can't ride every move of God or every wave. You'll just get confused and you'll get shallow. So when it talks about us blown about by every wind of doctrine, he didn't say those winds of doctrine are bad. I mean, these are blowing throughout the church. So the churches over here may need this influence and this doctrine for a while. But maybe we're in the place where that's not the main thing we need right now. You understand what I'm saying? Need to be discerning what God is doing in us. Rejoice in what he's doing everywhere else. Be a part of it to the degree that you can or need to. But we can't continue to be distracted from the river of life by all the little tributaries that feed it. We've got to stay in the river. It's all about Jesus.
You got to stay in the river. You know, there's this stream. You think about streams. You know, you think about the river of God and comes from the throne of God and the city of God, you know, mm-hmm. and the trees of life that are on the side of it and the leaves are for the healing of the nation, 12 kinds of fruit. And when God begins to move that current, that just begins to move whatever he's doing. But what happens is there's a lot of things that God's doing. And not, especially, you know, not knowing your call, not knowing your purpose, not being a disciple, which is like 90% according mm-hmm. to what he's saying, is you don't know what to do. You just see some activity and you think, I want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you get there since you don't know about being discipled. You don't know about connecting. You don't know about finding your purpose. Nobody's teaching you that. You think, okay, this didn't work out. Well, maybe I'll go to Canada. Maybe I'll go to Kansas City. If I go to IHOP, you know, I go there, it's a wonderful place, you know, Mike Bickle's International House of Prayer. But they show up and they bring trouble because they don't realize if you're going there and that's where God's called, you need to be there. Mm-hmm. You need to be fully present. And that's what he's talking about here, that, you know, God's moving, because you got to get in and function in the context of that. You know, at Brownsville, the Brownsville revival that took place in Pensacola, Florida, it took a lot of work, a lot of energy. It took a lot of commitment to playing a place and a part and a role. And God was moving in that. And if people wouldn't have stuck and stayed, then it would have stopped. As a matter of fact, mm-hmm. the reports are that God wanted to move to different places, but they weren't open to him moving. And so Pensacola was the third place that he was going to move. And it's like, wouldn't that be terrible to miss a move of God? You know, what God's called you to do because you're busy thinking like, oh, you know, my move's not like their move. But you think about it, it's the move of God is not, if you're already saved, it's not to save you. You're already saved.
Mm-hmm.
But you get encouraged in that. But the greatest encouragement is about the winning of souls. All of a sudden, God will begin to draw people to himself. He'll heal the brokenhearted. Like, say you have members in your fellowship and your community that's been brokenhearted, and God will just heal their heart, and they'll begin to function and begin to be fruitful, you know, in their life and in the life of their community. And that's what a move of God happens. And you think about it, if all of a sudden, if God has 10 moves going, for example, at the same time, then, but if everybody thought, oh man, we all need to go to this one place, that's 9 moves of God that stopped that would have impacted and reached a certain people group, because everybody has an anointing, it seems, for certain people groups. And that wouldn't be reached. Somebody told you it was about the feeling and about the, you know, the tingly feeling or the current feeling or the woo feeling or the shaking feeling and all these things. People go after these feeling type things. You know, the kingdom of God is not about a feeling, but a fact. And I think about this when you hear that, is the Lord has shown us on several occasions about what he's doing here mm-hmm. on the Gulf Coast, you know, about a move of God. You know, Pat's not a surfer, although he likes bacon. He's not a surfer, but in this particular dream that God gave him, he had like a 2-foot, it was 20-foot wave that he was riding, surfing this wave. But another one he saw was a 100-foot wave mm-hmm. that was coming. And he's talking about waves, this waves of God, the move of God. And, you know, John's that's normally here too on the program, that the Lord showed him this huge waves coming in. We're seeing again and again these waves. And the very first thing the Lord had shown me as he began to take us on this journey that we're on was, you know, get on your surfboards because this wave is coming. And the way it is that not only do you need to focus where God has called you to be, you know, there, that's where you need to stay, but you got to be fruitful where you're at. But you can miss the wave even where you're at. I remember, you know, at Brownsville, people that you gathered with for the years, they were not ready for the move of God. So when God began to move, some got offended.
They didn't know how to respond to it.
They don't know, you know, we just need to do the standard thing. Like the standard thing, God's here. This is this is it.
Yeah.
And some people miss the move of God. It was amazing. Yeah. Not many, but the ones you can miss it. And so you think about a surfer gets on the board. You got to know where God's called you to be, and getting on a surfboard. And the analogy is get where God's called you to be and begin to function in it.
Right. Cause the waves are coming.
Yeah. The waves are coming. You can't wait till you see the wave and then start paddling because it's going to pass you by. Waves just keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to start paddling in the right direction. And then you got to get ready. Even people's like, oh, what are you doing? It's like, I got to get ready. This is a big wave. It's coming fast and I don't want to miss it. So I got to focus where I'm going and I got to paddle like crazy. And that's what surfers do. They just paddle like crazy. And then, all of a sudden that wave shows up and everybody else that wasn't prepared, they see that wave coming. It passes right through them, basically. Yeah. They kind of go up and go over it. But this way, this one particular guy will catch that wave and he'll ride that wave as long as he can all the way in. And you got to focus. I mean, you got to focus. You got to know, you got to get trained up for your purpose. It's time to, you know, get planted where God's called you to be and not to be envious, not think, you know, you can get really familiar where you're at. And that's what quite often people do. They get familiar and they think, you know, you know, people are just getting healed here, and people are just, you know, it's like people are getting healed, but people get familiar with the things of God.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. The exact analogy that you're saying is that if you know where God's called you to be, placed you ahead of the wave that you're talking about, if you're focused on the wave, not the other people next to you, it makes sense why you're doing such a forceful preparation.
Yeah.
Knowing the fact that the wave is coming, even considering the fact that in your present situation, there is no wave.
Right.
And for those that are not looking at the coming wave, it doesn't make sense what you're doing, but you are in the full awareness that that wave is about to come, which is like, I know that
that's called prophecy. Exactly. God lets you know this is what I'm about to do. You need to get prepared for it. And it's exciting. What's going to happen. It really is. And true, when you're paddling like crazy and you're in what God's called you to be, and others that they're not even connected to anything and they don't understand how things work and don't understand, you know, what God's about to do, you know, you're not going to be popular with them. But the whole thing is like, you need to be popular or powerful, but you can't be them both.
Mm-hmm.
You either got to say, you know what? I want to be pleasing to God, even if men aren't pleased with me. And Jesus said, hey, if they treated me that way, they're treated me this way. They're going to treat you at least that Same. Way, not any better than I was treated. I want to pray with you right now. I want to pray that you catch this wave, that you begin to move into your place, that you're open, you know, for your place in God's army. And we want to be just like the centurion with the greatest amount of the substance that pleases God the most. Let's just pray. Father God, I thank you for this time together today that we had, Lord, on the program. I just pray that many will be encouraged, Lord, that they would get excited about what you're doing. That they would find their place to connect, to relate, to learn and follow your teachings, Father God, to find out, you know, that to get healed from any bad effects to authority that they may have had, that they can actually be a person in a place of authority, under authority and in authority, so they can move under the authority of your name, God, and begin to just be active and fruitful and the exciting part of what you're doing, Father God. We thank you, Lord. We pray for Israel, the peace of Israel. We pray, God, that you would end abortion in America, Father God, Lord, and that you would send revival. Lord God, send a third grade awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
We found another way. how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.